So I'm basing this talk on a poem by Rumi, and for me it's a poem about the order, or how I like to think of the order.
We have a huge barrel of wine, but no cups. That's fine with us. Every morning we glow, and in the evening we glow again. They say there's no future for us. They're right, which is fine with us.
Don't worry. So wine is essence, it's emptiness, it's what causes us to glow. And the drinking of wine was forbidden in Islam. But for Rumi, wine is a symbol of divine, mystical intoxication.
There are thousands of wines that can take over our minds. Don't think all ecstasies are the same.
So wine is the mystery of God's presence in the heart and mind, for Rumi. It's not knowledge of God's law through conventional study. There were those who worshipped out of fear of the Lord, and those who lost themselves in the dizzying effect of loving God with abandon. Rumi was the latter.
Drink from the presence of saints, not from those other jars. Every object, every being is a jar of delight. Drink the wine that moves you, as a camel moves when it's being untied and is just ambling about.
For Nagarjuna, the wine is emptiness, and emptiness means he can find no trace of anything anywhere. Each isolated thing that he seems to come across turns out to be utterly untraceable.
Were there a trace of something, there would be a trace of emptiness. Were there no trace of anything, there would be no trace of emptiness.
So, it's 600 years ago. Tsongkhapa is reading verses from the centre. He falls asleep and he dreams that Nagarjuna visits him and hits him on the head with the text. He wakes up and turns to the verse he'd been reading just before he fell asleep.
Were mind and matter me, I would come and go like them. If I were something else, they would say nothing about me.
At that moment, he has a full and sudden non-conceptual understanding of emptiness. It's like having his world turned upside down. This vision of emptiness is exactly the opposite of what he has imagined until then. So for Tsongkhapa, every notion of emptiness up till that point has been mistaken. And it's not that he's been slightly missing the mark, but that this emptiness is completely the opposite of what he expected. A gorgeous mistake. So, Arloka says, in 1976, I formally committed myself to a course of action, ordination, about which I had a whole jumble of ideas. None of these have really turned out to be of much use, except their gradual abandonment has provided a path of debris, offering the consolation that I have actually moved from where I started. So we can see the spiritual life as a path of debris, of abandoning mistaken ideas. And this doesn't mean that we were on the wrong path. It's more that this abandoning of mistakes is the path. So Rumi is imagining this community with a huge barrel of wine but no cups, while our wine is held in cups.
These forms we seem to be are cups, floating in an ocean of living consciousness.
So these cups are anything that fixes, contains or limits, but
the cup wants to be lifted and used, not broken but carried, carefully to the next. The cup knows there's a state for you beyond this, one that comes with more vast awareness. The cup looks still, but acts in secret to help. Sometimes you pour cup to cup, nothing happens. Pour instead into your deep ocean self, without calculation. If eyesight fails, find a railing to follow.